back to another episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by Best Fiends. So fun to play. And Every Plate. So great to eat. Listen, I like fun and food. Let me live. How you guys doing? How's your new 2021? What's your vibe? What are you up to? How you feeling? Do you have goals? Are we doing New Year's resolutions? I don't think I've done a New Year's resolution in a while. I think it's more like an overall, I'll try to make this thing or goal better, but I find the strict adherence to a specific goal and there's, you know, lots of rules around it, it doesn't really vibe with me. But if it vibes with you, you go for it. And honestly, I'm impressed by you. Anyways, I hope you guys are staying safe and keeping your morality up during this time. It's fine. We're fine. And I hate to bring you it's not a dark episode because we already know. I've already talked about the Epstein stuff a bunch, but I just wanted to check back in with my Australian gals, Jen and Lisa, who are, you know, kind of the experts on this. They have an entire podcast dedicated to the Jeffrey Epstein, Prince Andrew, Ghislaine Maxwell, and all the other cohorts involved. Their podcast is called The Prince and the Pervert. I would also like to mention before I speak about any of this, it's all alleged at this point for legal purposes. Very alleged. I hope that covered me. Alleged, alleged, alleged. But yeah, I just wanted to check back in with them after, you know, so Ghislaine has been arrested. She has been denied bail a few times. We've found out that she has a secret husband. We've now also found out some other connections with other kind of, well, very controversial billionaires like Peter Nygaard. So if this episode seems a little confusing, I apologize. It's kind of us talking about stuff we already know that maybe you are not super aware of, but I'm going to give you a quick list of names that we're going to mention and sort of their roles before I just straight go into it. So the people we're going to be talking about, so it's Jeffrey Epstein, whom I think most everyone knows, guy from the pedophile island, the whatever, he either hung himself or died in prison last year. Okay. So then there is his alleged co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. She was just arrested a couple months ago, around the same time, actually, like a year to the date almost, that Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. Then there's Peter Nygaard, who is another multi-millionaire, maybe billionaire. You know, he's a fashion mogul dude who has also been in trouble. Well, he's been arrested fairly recently, too, for a lot of sex crimes and stuff. And he was linked to both Epstein and Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew, obviously, is Prince Andrew. Those names. And then, let's see, Virginia Roberts, who I will mention a bunch. She's probably the most outspoken survivor of this alleged underage sex trafficking ring. And she's the one that, if you see all those photos of Prince Andrew with his arm around a young girl, that's Virginia Roberts. So I mentioned her. Okay, yeah, and then also up top we go into just a little bit of a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills talk. So, yeah. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening, and I love you. And yeah, without further ado, let's give it up for Jen and Lisa of the Prince and the Pervert podcast. All right, come on, guys. Admit it to me. There's something you still keep from your childhood or just like a special moment in your life that you keep as a memory. It's sentimental. You hold on to it. Listen, I have a stuffed duck named Richardson, and I love him, and he hangs out with me a lot, and I'm not ashamed about it. I keep him close because it just means something to me, and these days I also keep my favorite puzzle game close to me all the time. I'm talking about Best Fiends, the top-rated mobile puzzle adventure game. Seriously, it's quite fun. And a very manageable level of challenging. Meaning, like, it keeps your brain going, which I need because I have a hard time relaxing, but it's also just fun, and I keep wanting to play it. Like, it's, you know, I can't put it down. It's really, really fun when I need to de-stress and just stop doing work-related stuff. And you don't have to be a hardcore gamer to love Best Fiends. It's made for adults, but fun for all. Unless you hate fun, which, I mean, that's on you. In which case, it's probably not for you. It's challenging, it's fun, it's exciting, and it never ends. Best Fiends is the binge-worthy mobile puzzle game that's free to download. With over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must-play. More levels, events, and challenges are added every time. When you want just one more level, it'll be there, ready and waiting. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom won't stand a chance. I swear every time I log on to it, I'm like, well, this is a new thing. That's a new character. This is a new adventure. I'm now linked up with more friends on this. It also connects you and your friends too, which is crazy. Best Fiends takes can't stop, won't stop literally. There are already thousands of puzzle levels and counting. Get used to saying just one more level over and over again. Kind of like just one more episode of Be Here For A While. Good thing Best Fiends updates all the time so you can keep playing as much as you want. So you don't have to choose between binging and boredom. Boredom doesn't stand a chance. So download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Okay, so that's Best Fiends free. Download it on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. So thank you guys so much for coming back on to essentially update me and my listeners, since you guys are the Epstein saga experts. I also saw that you did start the Erica Jane Tom Girardi podcast you were talking about the other day. That was a quick turnaround.
I'm obsessed by it, Rachel.
What is the story? I don't actually know. I just kind of keep seeing things pop up on social media.
Okay, so Tom Girardi, who's Erica Jane from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, he's her husband, and he was also the lawyer in Erin Brockovich, one of the lawyers.
Yeah, I knew that.
He told the court recently he had between $50 million and $90 million in cash, and he only has $15,000 left. And he apparently took some of the money, well, allegedly, from some Indonesian orphans and also a guy with burns to 50% of his body. He had an $11 million, He had an $11 million payout, and that money all gone. So what people are saying is these allegations demonstrate a grave breach of trust between a lawyer and their client.
Wow. So he's stealing the client's payouts, essentially?
That's what they're saying, yes. His assets have been frozen as well. And Erica Jane claims she knows nothing about it. But he did give her business a $20 million loan.
Oh, my gosh. What's her business?
They've got, like, tax bills that are outstanding.
Uh-huh.
And the house that they live in, in Pasadena, it's been mortgaged multiple times. So is the office building that he owns on Wilshire Boulevard. So there may not be money for the poor victims, but also there may not be money for the banks and his other creditors.
That's what's so crazy about the Real Housewives shows. My mom and I tried to watch one episode of the new Salt Lake City one. And it's like, it's
crazy. Love it.
But it's just so, like, the constant flaunting of wealth after a while, like the ridiculous money they spend on these stupid parties, it's like people are going to start to hate seeing that, because it's like everyone's like struggling because of the pandemic, and it's just kind of like, and it's so weird to me that they flaunt wealth like that, and while they're simultaneously probably doing illegal activities, some of them, that is, like Erica Jane flaunting all that when her husband is doing, like, we can see it on TV, so you're going to be in trouble down the line.
Rachel, there was an unexpected development. one night a few weeks, oh no, it was probably a week ago, Erica Jane got on to her Instagram stories and said that her husband had been cheating on her and put up these messages between him and a judge, right?
Wow.
From, it looks like a 2005 Nokia flip phone. And she basically said he was cheating on her and paying for this judge's plastic surgery.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Okay. And well, that's going to be a good podcast. It's called, what is it called? Goodbye Glam Squad?
Yes.
Because she
was.
Go ahead.
Oh, she was famous for her glam squad. They went everywhere with her. They even went first class to Europe.
See, that is just a stupid way to spend your money. It's just ridiculous.
Out of touch, completely out of touch with the average person.
Yeah.
Why they get crucified on social media.
Well, I don't necessarily blame him, especially if her husband is stealing money from people and she's flying her glam squad first class to Europe. Like, you deserve it a little bit. Well,
they do.
Who deserves it more is the people we're talking about, which is Ghislaine Epstein, all the updates. So I listened to every, I think, one of your episodes where you read the full, Jen, you read the full deposition.
There's still three or four more to come.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I was like, I feel like the last one I was listening to was only on like page 200 and something, and it goes to 465 or whatever.
Yeah.
You can tell me your impression of it. All I can say so far is she's so painfully annoying with the fact that she will not give any information, and she does that thing that liars do. And I remember when I saw any interrogation with Epstein where they pretend like they don't understand the question, or they pretend like they don't hear you in order to either confuse the person asking or buy more time.
Definitely. It's lying by omission, but it's also something that Shakespeare used in his plays a lot with the main characters, that they never answer the question because they don't interpret it the way the person is saying, so they go off on a different tangent.
Mm-hmm.
So I've even been contacted by a Shakespeare scholar, and we're going to go through some of her answers. It's a wonderful ploy to change the direction of the questions. So many of these questions she was asked, she didn't answer at all.
Not at all. But
is a second deposition that she was dragged in. That was the one I've been reading is April 2016. There was a second one done in July of that year, and hopefully that should be released in about a fortnight's time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that the questions she managed to avoid, and she even pulled bathroom breaks to try and stop some of the questioning as well. So mm-hmm. when she came back onto a different topic. So I'm hoping that Sigrid re-asked a lot of these questions. But definitely, it's not outright lies. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't remember, or I don't understand what you mean by sex toy. You know, there's quite a
female, yes.
That was insane.
And the same thing about her, like she was seven. You're allowed to be a masseuse at 17. It's like, that's not what they were asking. That's not the question they were asking. And,
exactly.
And she, you know, saying like the photos weren't real, or and just harping. I thought it was so annoying that she kept harping on Virginia is a liar, because she said her dad drove her there, but really her mom drove her there. So the whole story is fake, just based on that one small detail.
Okay, guys, I'm like kind of embarrassed to admit this, because I've always talked about how much I love coming up with my own recipes and cooking, but I'm a little sick of it right now because quarantine has lasted forever. But that's where Every Plate comes in. Every Plate has literally saved my life. I still love cooking, but I want them to kind of give me the inspiration. Every Plate is a meal delivery kit that comes together with recipes in about 30 minutes, definitely faster than any trip to the grocery store and starting a meal from scratch. Every Plate provides easy to follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients, so you can spend less time prepping and cooking and more time enjoying good food with family or loved ones. And the biggest kicker? Every plate is affordable. Think of it this way. One meal from every plate is the same price as one cup of coffee. Experience full plates and fuller wallets with America's best value meal kit, delivered right to your door, contact free. So I encourage you guys, try every plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off your next two boxes by going to everyplate.com and entering code BEHERE199. So that's everyplate.com, everyplate.com, and enter code BEHERE199. Get started with EveryPlate for just $1.99 per month, plus an additional 20% off another 2 weeks by going to everyplate.com and entering code BEHERE199.
She basically calls Virginia a liar about the entire thing based on the fact that Virginia said her dad drove her when Galen was like, no, her mom drove her. So, and it just makes her an absolute liar. Like, okay, I don't really think that that's that important for the...
Well, she carried on this huge swathes of her conversation, just her speaking, almost screaming, Virginia lies. She is a liar. She is a liar. We know she lies. You've admitted she lies. It's got nothing to do with the questions she was asked.
Also, it's been disproven about who dropped her off. It was her father, because he testified to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Oh, so that's great news, actually. So her saying I stood outside and talked to her mother the whole time is just a straight up lie.
Yep.
See, she's been done for perjury in the latest criminal case, and it's to do with that deposition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about no sexual contact with minors, because she kept saying no, 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 there was none. And that's what two of the, I think there's two perjury charges she's yep. facing, and it's to do with that deposition and the lies she told.
Mm. Yeah, and she kept, go ahead.
Sorry, Rachel, I was just going to say that was Virginia's lawyer's strategy to try and get some criminal charges against Maxwell.
Mm-hmm. It was obvious the questions that they were asking her, it wasn't just about this defamation case. They were on a fishing trip to try and trip her up. But she knew, and so did her lawyer. So they knew it was more than a defamation case deposition being, you know, she was hauled in for. They knew that they were after stuff on Epstein as well.
Mm-hmm. That's very smart of them. So they were basically just trying to get her in some sort of lie so they could bring her in for perjury. That's very yeah. smart. Very smart. And they got her then if she said that she was talking to her mom the whole time. And it was crazy to me too, is that she kept saying, I will only testify to adult professional people.
Yes.
You know, and it's like that's not what they're talking about. They're you're not in here to talk about you hiring adult professional people. And that yes. was also that other part that was annoying too, where she's saying, I don't hire people, I meet with people, or I
it all changes as the questioning becomes more, you know, honed in on it. She sort of changed her role. It was at first in the deposition, she hired them. Then it was, no, I just meet with them. And then, you know, Jeffrey meets with them, but I don't hire them. And then the next thing, there's a massive list of the work, the staff she was hiring. So,
and then also, Jen, she lied about the desktop computer.
Big time.
And what was that lie?
Well, she had a laptop, and in one, Alessi, who was the butler, he was asked questions about the computer and her desk, and he said she had a laptop, where in the deposition she was saying there was one computer, not a laptop, a computer that staff could use.
Mm.
But one spoke about the office and how her desk was over there and his desk was over there, and she had a laptop. So that's another interesting point. She tried to evade any acknowledgement that she had her own personal use only laptop there.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to sort of state that everybody had access to a computer.
Yeah. So if they did find something, then it wouldn't necessarily be her.
Exactly. And the use of her pushing the word computer rather than using laptop lies by omission. Just using her use of language to evade question if later on they hauled her in and she'd go, but I say computer, not laptop.
But she was very clear in defending a couple of the John Does.
Yes.
And one that she denied taking him to Epstein's Island on a helicopter where she was the pilot.
Yes.
Who do you think she was referring to there?
Well, I don't know. Can we say?
Yes, I would.
Yep.
Clinton.
One's Clinton and one's Prince Andrew.
I could tell when that one was, obviously, because they were talking about London. So why can't they, why do they redact those names from, why don't they, because it's not like they're minors, obviously, they're old men.
The John Does didn't want their names mentioned due to security issues.
Privacy,
that they weren't convicted or no crimes have been alleged of their behaviour, a whole raft of reasons. But the good thing is she could go down to the index and those names were there, blacked out, but you could tell from where they were placed in the alphabet.
Oh, wow.
There was only one redaction in that whole thing that I could not track to a redacted word in the index, even doing a page search, because in the index, so it's blacked out, but, you know, it's Prince Andrew. It shows all the page numbers where that redaction was made. There was a redaction made about a young girl, but that page number showed up nowhere in the index next to a redacted name. So it's not a complete, the index isn't complete, but it's complete enough that you can tell that they're talking about Prince Andrew here, Clinton there, other John Does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think Prince Andrew will ever, because I think I was listening to one of your episodes and one of you guys said that you think it's possible that he'll never face, because they're just too powerful, he'll never face.
He's hiding behind mummy's skirts. He's five.
Oh, his brother might send him out to pasture.
Yep.
Yeah. I was reading this article, I think from, maybe it was Vanity Fair, maybe it was the Daily Beast, I can't remember. But they were explaining how self-important and arrogant he is. Apparently, a former friend or staffer or someone said he would do things like, if he entered a room, so there was a specific example where some of his friends and maybe other people that worked for him were sitting in a room, and he entered and no one gave him like a formal royal greeting. They were pretty much probably like, hi. And he looked at them and he said, let's try that again. Walked out of the room and walked back in so they would give him a formal greeting.
He's such a wanker.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
So now he's also been linked to Peter Nygaard. Do you guys want to describe who Peter Nygaard is? Because you guys were able to see that Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous that got taken down.
Well, Peter Nygaard was a Finnish-born but grew up in Canada. He's a fashion designer, very big in the 80s, early 90s. He has a Bahamas resort, and he was friends with Prince Andrew. Now, Prince Andrew, the Daily Mail investigation, which spoke about Prince Andrew holidaying on Little St. James Island, after that holiday, he went to Nygaard's resort, we believe, in our opinion. And Nygaard often hosted him, the ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, and the children. Now, Nygaard is facing charges from a civil case of about 54 women, and the dates range from 1979 till the present. Mm-hmm. His own two sons have also joined the class action. They allege that their own father got a company employee, also known or described as a prostitute or Nygaard's girlfriend, to sexually assault them when they were underage to break them in, I suppose you could say. So he's finally been arrested, but he's been,
they've got photos of him and Prince Andrew together in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And there are photos with the two girls, the princesses.
Yeah.
And with Nygaard and some of his staff.
And mm-hmm. that photo of Sarah and the girls with Nygaard was actually on Nygaard's website that got scrubbed clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I took some screenshots, Rachel, of the Lifestyles and the Rich and Famous. And Robin Leach, who was the host of that show, he bought a restaurant with Nygaard after that.
Really?
Now, Robin Leach also in the Black Book of Epstein's.
Is he really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow, I did not know that. So Prince Andrew has a few, men that have basically been convicted. Peter Nygaard's not convicted yet, but of being, sexual abusers, pedophiles, allegedly.
And then also Jean-Luc Brunel, close friends with Epstein. We know that Epstein spent a lot of time in his Paris apartment. He wasn't photographed there as much, mainly because people didn't know who he was. And, of course, Andrew, it's only across the ditch. We'd like to know how often Andrew went to Paris, mm-hmm. stayed at Epstein's place after the farewell tour when he broke up with Epstein in New York. Did he just stop meeting up with Epstein in New York and on the island and just go and visit mm-hmm. him in Paris, where there wasn't the photographers aiming cameras at him as much as they do or did in New York?
Are there any photos of him in Paris with him or no? More Jean-Luc? No. But Jean-Luc is definitely, allegedly, but most likely the one who, for Epstein's birthday, sent him the three. I think this is probably the most horrific story of all for me. The three triplets, the 12-year-old triplets, put him on a plane as a gift for him for his birthday. And then I don't know why it's so horrifying to me that they turned around and like within a 24-hour period or something, were back on the plane to deal with that trauma.
Honestly, that haunts me, that story.
It really haunts me too. Yeah. And so most likely, because they were sent from France, most likely it's the Jean-Luc.
But how many triplets who were age 12, who were female at that time, we must be able to find them.
Mm.
Yeah. But maybe they just don't want to, maybe they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to relive that trauma. And how did he even get a hold of them? Was he friends with their parents? Did he buy them from the parents?
We don't know. They could also be trying to get money from the estate. There's about 100 girls who've applied.
Mm-hmm.
They could have thought it was a modelling job, the three girls together.
Oh, you're right. Yes, they totally could have.
Safety in numbers, the parents couldn't go, but the three of them together, they'll be fine. They'll look after themselves, each other. Off they go. Jean-Luc is like, I'm traveling with them. All will be good. Bang.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, I sent you guys, I didn't expect you to listen to it, but at some point do. I sent you guys this new podcast out called The Clown and the Candyman.
Yes, I was to that.
Did you listen?
Yeah, I've listened to the first episode. It's pretty incredible.
Oh, my gosh. So it basically, it's linking, eventually they're going to link John Wayne Gacy and Dean Corll, who were two serial killers who molested and murdered young boys. They were pedophiles. Now, what ends up being, I think I've listened to, there's four episodes out now. What ends up being exposed, first of all, Jeffrey Epstein wasn't the first, and Peter Nygaard were not the first to have their own pedophile islands. There was a rich man in Michigan in the 70s that did, and they treated it, they had it as like a boys' camp. They said it was a, like a summer camp for boys. So anyways.
Was that an island on the lake or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what they end up revealing, though, by episode four is that because there was no internet back in the day, the pedophiles were all very, very connected. They all knew of each other. They knew if they went into a certain town, that's the guy to call. Sometimes they would send them cars to the airport. They would send they would set up their stays. They all were connected, they had to kind of network. And I think that that's what they're going to be. And so if, you know, Peter Nygaard's abuse is going back to like the 70s, and I'm sure all these guys were, that they've all probably been in this scheme together for a very long time, if they knew each other back then. But they had to, because they had to coordinate like that without the internet. They had to, and no cell phones, and it had to be a very
clandestine sort of thing. There is also a link between Nygaard and Epstein. They had an employee, shared an employee, different times, but a guy called Clinton Regis Wunderly, who won several Don Johnson lookalike competitions, was a
I remember you guys talking about him. Yeah, so he worked for both of them.
Both of them. First Epstein and then Nygaard. He also puts himself out as an actor, and he mentions that he worked as a chauffeur for Nygaard and before that a billionaire Florida. And so we did some searching, and sure enough, Wunderly's known addresses linked with Epstein properties. Oh. So we, and there was apparently friend linkages on social media as well. Now, we did contact him, but of course he didn't respond.
No one ever responds, Rachel.
We try. We're very nice about it. They usually just close down and turn private anything that we found and refuse to talk to us.
Jen found someone who was subpoenaed in the US Virgin Islands estate case who worked on the island, and there were photos of the island on her Instagram.
A lot of photos of the island.
Really?
Contacted her. She shut down private. I've only shared one or two photos that we collected from her Instagram. No one can access them now, but I haven't put up anything that really shows her face, because from looking into it, she scored a plum job straight out of college. She was in the finance part of it, which is why the US Virgin Islands have asked for everything. It's out. She didn't even last 10 months in the job, so I've got a feeling maybe she worked out what was going on and left. Mm. But she had grown up, spent part of her childhood in the US Virgin Islands before then moving to Santa Fe, of all places.
Oh, but wow.
There was no links between her and Epstein before she got this job. We really dug deep on this poor girl, and we think it's a case of she applied for a job, but it ended up being a nightmare job. She wasn't involved in anything.
So she's probably a good person. So, who...
Beautiful shot.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, a good person who got caught up in it. So we, even though we have all the pictures from her Instagram, so I took, you know, downloaded all the photos, but took full screenshots to show the URL and her tags and her descriptions, we won't release them because she doesn't need to be hounded.
Yeah, yeah, and you don't know what happened to her, you know. Maybe she was attacked like the Maria Farmer. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not sure. But it is fascinating, the links between these people.
Mm.
And there's one Facebook friend who, it's not alleged that she's done anything wrong, but she worked for Epstein, and she's on so many of the accounts, isn't she?
She's friends with a lot of them. We tracked sisters who live in Albuquerque now, and they worked on Zorro Ranch. They had addresses in New York that were all Epstein owned.
On the flight logs.
On the flight logs, the whole lot. And they're openly friends with this Cimberly
Espinosa.
Espinosa.
And so is the chef. Does anyone know Adam Perry Lang?
Now,
chef, his best friend.
I'm friends with, maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't think she'll care because I didn't even ask her anything about it. I'm really good friends with Jill Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel's sister. And I had lunch with her about a month or more, maybe 2 months ago. And I really, really wanted to ask her if she knew, if he knew anything. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's rude or whatever. So I didn't, but I was so close to just,
blurting it out. Yeah.
Well, Adam Perry, I find him quite fascinating because he was Epstein's head chef for 2 years and went everywhere with him. Was quite kind to Virginia.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he was very, I mean, from what Virginia says, he was very respectful and very nice.
Yes, but Epstein's dead now, so what does he have to fear? Because he wouldn't even talk to Virginia, and he said in a press statement that he just can't remember anything untoward, he can't remember any naked girls, but he's also said he's helping law enforcement. Now, what does that mean?
See, a lot of people wouldn't be able to talk because of NDAs, but Epstein's dead. So were there NDAs with other people floating around the Epstein circle? Were they were Ghislaine, other big names that were involved? We don't know. Are there still threats, or is it just because of an NDA?
Or if he is part of helping with the ongoing investigation, maybe the cops don't want him to say, or the investigators don't want him to say anything because it could ruin something. They do that a lot. They withhold, you know, just so it doesn't get out and ruin stuff. Now I want to talk. Go ahead.
We often get fake, what we believe to be fake survivors coming forward and throwing up all this info, and they'll detail things and say, ask me anything, and, you know, do responses. But that sort of straight away makes us realise, okay, they're not actually part of the case. They're saying they've been interviewed by the legal teams and the FBI. If they were, they would not be out on social media, say in Reddit or on Twitter, throwing this stuff out, because they everything as quiet as possible.
Do you think they're doing that to maybe get a piece of some sort of lawsuit for money?
Fame balls.
Yeah. What I was talking about earlier, there are paid trolls in this case.
Yeah, I wonder that. And I wonder if, like, have you felt that people from, like, Ghislaine's team are paying attention to your podcast, or even Ghislaine? Like, do you get any threats from people?
No, none. We've been told that we're paid spies, trolls, that we work for Ghislaine, usually when we're ignoring somebody or refusing to
engage
with their narrative or their conspiracy theories, because we won't say what they want us to say, often politically motivated, that all of a sudden we're bad news, fake news, trolls, and
CIA.
I've been called that.
What's that other thing? That the mind control experiment.
Oh, I'm an MK Ultra spy.
Yeah, that's what we are.
Okay.
It was. So I had to Google it.
Yep. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's been weird, but we've had no cease and desist. We haven't been.
Yeah, but let's just not talk about that, because it's a bad luck.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's not. Yeah, because I don't want one either. Okay, so let's. I want to talk about too. The courts have subpoenaed Glenn Dubin to release any conversation or any interaction that his children ever had with Epstein. First of all, why don't they ask the adult children for that? I guess it's just a little weird to me, but maybe because they were minors when the correspondence would have happened.
I believe that's to do with trust accounts that Glenn would have and Epstein set up in the children's names. So those kids may, even though they're adults now, may not have known about these accounts or have access to them. Mm-hmm. So I think something to do with the financials.
I thought it was also about any conversations too, like documented emails or texts or.
Oh, because Epstein wanted to marry their daughter when she was 14.
Well, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, it really creeped me out that she called him Uncle Jeff, and he would go over and spend time with her to teach her math and science, or go over whatever she was learning in school. Like, it's all very weird.
Well, that's what Virginia has said, and this is an allegation, but she said something to the effect of that him and his wife, Dr. Ava Dubin, are the creepiest couple ever.
Really? And why is that?
Well, she said they were her first couple that she was sent to after Epstein had trained her. She hasn't gone into it. She says, I wish I could tell you more.
She has said that when she was a...
She spent a lot of time with the Dubin children.
With the children, but also when she alleges the assault with Glenn, the wife was in the next room, heavily pregnant and in the next room and within earshot. And knew what was going on.
Oh, my gosh.
They also, Virginia also alleges, and that the children were groomed as well.
Well, that's what that's what I'm wondering, because it's very shocking to think that a parent would allow the grooming of their own child. You know, sometimes it makes a little bit more sense when there's no excuse for it, but maybe they are heavily addicted and they don't have any money and they're out of their mind and they, you know, offer up their, it's still horrible, but it's even more strange to me that someone with that kind of money and not down on their luck at all would put their child in a position to be potentially or allegedly groomed by a predator. I don't know what the psychology behind that, what type of person that even is.
Well, they're billionaires, Rachel. It's so strange.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, but it's just weird. And I can see, like, you know, I've always said, like, people that have like a lot of money or a lot of fame sometimes, like, normal thrills aren't good enough for them anymore because they've already done it all. And so then they just get weirder and kinkier and stuff. Fine in your own, not fine, especially if you're abusing children, but then to bring your own children into it is very strange. I hope that that's not true, but I feel like with this case,
you never know. Nothing's surprising now in this case.
Well, we only know like probably 0.01% of all, because you just said to me, Rachel, you have been reading Virginia's memoir.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got new information in it, but I'm sure that that isn't everything she knows. But Virginia's been calling out women, she says, who have abused her, adult women as well.
Yeah, I just saw you retweeted her post. So when she's hashtagging them, it's not that they just knew about what was going on and didn't do anything to stop it. She's claiming that they also abused her.
Yeah. Oh, I just said we have names and they're on Twitter, but I don't want to put them on your podcast.
Yeah. I'll just look. We can, or my listeners can go look at the Twitter. And it's not us alleging it. It's, I mean, Virginia. It's.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Well, I'm trying to think if there was anything else. Do you guys have any other updates? Anything about, so Scott Borgensen, is that how I say his last name?
Yep.
Is he? Wait, what do you call him?
The Borg.
So he has been officially named as her husband. That's not just a rumor.
I'm not quite sure. I think
everyone's running with it because it can only be him. His name's still being suppressed, but we've found them in photos and he's over paperwork.
And we discovered that we knew that it had been pushed out there that they met in 2014 at the Arctic Circle Assembly, where all the big wigs and the scientific people get together to discuss the Arctic. So that was October, November 2014. I discovered a radio show that he did in Boston, a little segment talking about the Arctic waters, in March of 2014. So, you know, a good 6 months beforehand. But he described himself as being on the board of Terramar Project, which is Ghislaine's charity, which is why she went to the assembly in the October, November. So everyone assumed they met at the end of 2014. But here I'd found evidence that he supplied to this radio station that he was already on the board in the March.
Mm.
So I was quickly typing up something to put on our website. Lisa was on the phone and she went, hang on a minute. She went and checked and discovered paperwork that the Terramar Project had lodged about the board, and he was listed on the board of Terramar in 2013. Oh, so we believe that they met maybe 2012 or 11, maybe even earlier. For him to be on the board in 2013, they'd already had a relationship of some form.
Yeah, well, he was still married then, so maybe it was just more secretive.
It was just like her deposition. It's the lies by omission.
Mm-hmm.
She's not trustworthy with anything that comes out of her mouth because she will forget things or couldn't remember or can't recall. It's the same about when she met this man.
Mm-hmm. Well, who did you, were you guys, is it Annie Farmer or Maria Farmer? Which one is the psychologist or has a psyche? Annie? And what is her evaluation of Ghislaine? I think you guys said it on your podcast that she's
a psychopath.
Like she has actual psychopathic tendencies.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel, well, I guess that's sociopath. I think they're somewhat similar. Doesn't feel emotion. Just doesn't care about the welfare of others.
She wrote about that not just as her educational background, you know, what she has studied, but she has identified herself publicly as minor victim one in the Ghislaine case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she contact with Ghislaine.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, thank you guys so much. I don't think I have anything else. Do you? Do you have anything else that new that came out or?
No, not really.
Just that bail was denied formally and realistically, they couldn't let her go. She'd bolt.
Yeah, she'd bolt and I think people would freak out. I think they couldn't handle that kind of embarrassment or public outrage. Yeah. So, well, thank you guys so much. Let's connect again in like a couple months or something when there's more. I love having you guys on to update my listeners on the Epstein stuff.
Well, thank you so much for having us on your program. We're absolutely delighted.